flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To Anderson, shot clock at 9. Got to make something happen here. Pajemski, guarded by Joe, backs up, wants to go one-on-one with 3, with 2, backs up, takes a jumper, it's good! It's a 2, and it's 102-97. Talk about confidence, he's got 11. Schroeder fakes, drives on Dort, passes back out to Kyle. 5 on the clock, got to go. Slow-mo, cut off by Hartenstein, spins, fadeaway, jumper, left wing, good! Wow! Just wow. Timeout Thunder. Everybody rocking and rolling here at Chase Center as they roar their approval. Golden State has a 6-point lead with 4:04 to go on the Warriors Radio Network. 106-103. Inside 2 minutes. Steve Kerr gets a play call in. Curry off a screen by Schroeder. Takes a deep three. Good! Doubles the Warrior advantage just like that. Curry's got 21.
There's no question when you see a game like last night, the temptation is, man, like, let's just keep going like this. And why would we do anything? But you can't just look at one game or two games. You've got to look at the full picture. And that's what Mike and his staff are doing.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, BP. I'll tell you what, the Tommy laugh was my favorite part of all that. Slow-mo knocks that in. He's just like, that's all you need to know. He's just like, oh, tonight's one of those nights.
We spent so much time talking about how just the Warriors as a team needed that last night. I think Tim Roy needed that last night.
Tim Roy.
Get some excitement.
Man, you're right. But I'm going to go back to your first statement. We all did.
I mean, we all did.
I mean, they dumped a bucket of water on Steve Kerr's head. And he was not taking the ice bucket challenge. They were just happy. That's it. They were just happy. I love that he shared that story, by the way. If y'all weren't with us when Steve first came on, because Steph Curry shared the story last night, that they dumped water all over his head.
Basically just saying, you got to celebrate and bring some joy in the locker room.
He's like, small victories matter too, was like the message. But Steve shared that this was actually going back to the game against Utah where he walked in after the win and everyone's just on their phone. And he's like, dude, you guys, like, don't even look up at me. We just won a game. He referenced the Arizona game where there was the half-court shot. It was actually longer than half-court. Yep. to tie the game, and they win in overtime. And the coach got the shower.
Tommy Lloyd, yeah.
After the game, he's like, "Why don't you guys do that?" And then, lo and behold, the very next night, they beat the OKC Thunder, and so the players remembered his request, and they gave it to him.
Steve Kerr willed that win into existence because he wanted the shower of water after the game.
Okay, more on all of this in a second, because Bob Myers was on with Steiny and Goose, said something that I think is super relevant to each and every one of you listening to us right now. Grandy in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs, very, very thankful that you're here. We do want to remind you one more time, as we have been so much, the knockout tournament. And I want to take a moment, because I've gotten this question a few times. I know there's a handful out of you out there who are like, "I'm sorry, what is knockout?" So check it out, right? Like, I don't think y'all know. Do y'all know what knockout is? So the knockout tournament at Chase Center, knockout is a game where you all line up starting at the free throw line. Some people do it top of the key. But anyway, we're going to do it at the free throw line. So you line up at the free throw line, and when the person in front of you shoots, as soon as they release the ball, the person behind that person can shoot.
You got to wait for it to hit the rim, don't you?
Yeah, different rules. Once someone lets it fly, I'm letting it fly. Once they release it, I figure you can go. But the bottom line is if the person, you can go rebound your own shot, you got to get the ball in the bucket before the person behind you does. If the person behind you does, you're out. You're out. And so the crowd gets whittled down, all the way down to when there's a champion. And last year, it was the man I'm talking to right now.
Yep.
Yes, sir. So we will play that. But the other part of it is we go shoot hoops on the Chase Center floor.
Yeah, we had a good 45 minutes or an hour before the tournament even started last year.
So, and that for me, I think for a lot of you listening, is probably the even bigger deal. It would be fun to dethrone Mark Grandy as knockout champ. But the bottom line
is, get your hopes up.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up. But the bottom line is if you win this prize, you get to go ball on the Chase Center floor and look around at those 20,000 seats and just soak that in. And it really is. It's a moment. It's a moment. We did it last year and it's crazy. So we invite each and every one of you who are listening to try to win your way in. And we know a lot of you have been trying, and we got a lot more chances for you. Today is your 12th chance out of 45. So that'll happen in the 4 o'clock hour, and it happens every single day for this week, next week, and the week after, three times a day, 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour. So coming up here in just over a half hour, we'll give you a keyword, and then we will tell you what to do with that keyword so that you have a chance to win your way in. All you got to know right now is make sure you're with us at 4, and if you're with us right now, just stay here till 4. What the hell is it that you got to do where you can't have people talking at you, right? So that's the knockout tournament, and another spot is coming up here in less than an hour. We will start that process. So knockout tournament coming up, and there's that piece of it. Now here's the other thing, and I want y'all to listen closely to this. And it's a little surprising to me that more people, once we heard this from Bob Myers, haven't been almost overwhelmingly flooding the airwaves of 95.7 The Game. Do you all understand this? The former general manager of the Warriors literally admitted to you that you
have the power,
have a say in what the Warriors do at a time like this. So he was asked, when you have a few games leading up to When you have a few games leading up to the trade deadline, how much does that start to sway opinion? Take a listen.
It does. It probably changes it more than it should. You have to temper that, though. You have to look at the body of work and say, how real is this? The issue, though, what you're saying is you have to stop. Say you win 4 in a row before the deadline or win 3 in a row. You have to kind of push back on that and go, okay, that was just 3 games out of 48. Let's just pause a little bit. But it's hard to do that sometimes.
Okay, so there's Bob Myers admitting that the games leading up to the deadline, maybe, as he put it, matter more than they should. And then listen to this, the mindset of a GM the week before the deadline.
It's pretty rough. I mean, it's much more than maybe the public realizes, you know, this isn't like you woke up 2 days before the deadline and decided to make a trade. I can tell you about the Wiggins one we did. It's pretty exhausting from a standpoint of just running out a ton of ground balls. I mean, most of the stuff you discuss in detail, you don't end up doing, or you'll move forward. You'll get to the 10-yard line with another team, and they'll just pull out and say they got a better deal somewhere else, or they'll change the deal, or something will happen. A guy will sprain his ankle, the deal's off. Somebody's medicals will come back negatively. But every time you go through it, you learn something, and you learn about your peers. You learn who you can trust. You learn about your own group. Some people in the group are more aggressive, some more conservative. Ultimately, it's Joe's team. It's his call. And I accepted that, and that's what every organization operates under, is it's the owner's team.
Okay. So throughout all of this, Bob has and is admitting that GMs very much, they put these reports out there because they are trying to gauge public opinion. And I do think that's why a lot of us hear what we hear. Part of it is the game that teams are playing with each other. They're trying to create more leverage and fear and all of that. Oh, if you don't up your offer, someone else is going to jump in. But they put these reports out there because they want to know what fans and media are going to say. And I don't know about you, but the first place my mind went was, well, whatever it is you all would like the Warriors to do, I would start trumpeting it as loud as possible. You've got a week. Your assignment is in front of you.
Less than a week now.
Yep.
3.5 hours less than a week. Noon next Thursday is the trade deadline. Not much time to figure this thing out.
And you're in the shadow of the win of the year. So like, what did last night do to you? What did it do to how you're feeling? I can only speak for me in an odd way. There's two things that happened. One, I enjoyed that game as much as any game I've watched all year. It's not the only time they've beaten OKC. They beat Boston, all of these things. But that one was high, high level on the entertainment meter for me. But I came out of it going, even more so, you got to make a move. You've got to make a move because this team is showing you that there is still something there, but I know that it's not enough if just left to its own devices night in and night out the rest of the way.
Yeah, last night didn't really change much for me, but I've always very strongly been in the camp of do something, and do something, maybe that kind of borders irresponsible. I know that's not necessarily the right thing to say, but I've always just been in the camp, do something. Steph Curry and this team needs it. If you're a little concerned, still pull the trigger. It is worth taking that risk to try to make something out of the end of Steph Curry's career. Because clearly for me, Willard, and I think you agree, and I think Steve Kerr would agree, last night is not something that we see this Warrior team do that often. And you can be totally impressed by all the individual players in last night's game, as you should be. Wiggins was amazing. Absolutely incredible. That was a career game for Kevon Looney. You know he's never scored more points in a regular season game than he did last night?
Nope.
Never in his entire regular season career. He scored 21 in one playoff game against the Mavericks in the 2022 Western Conference Finals, part of the incredible postseason run that he had. GP2 had not scored 15 points in a game since October of 2023. Yep. It's been a year and a half. The last time that GP2 scored as many points as he did last night. Some of the individual buckets that we're talking about. The Brandon Pajemski step back deep two, foot on the line on the right wing in the fourth quarter. The most inefficient shot in basketball, by the way, a deep two. He made it. I'm not expecting Pajemski, even though he's playing great, to make that shot very often. And then the slow-mo fadeaway from beyond the left elbow at the end of a shot clock, I'm not sure I've seen him ever make that shot in his career. He probably has. I'm not sure I've ever seen it. So to expect that the Warriors are going to be able to pull out performances like that ever again, let alone on any kind of consistent basis to climb up the Western Conference standings, is absolute lunacy to me. It was great to see it, and it's awesome, and it's an important win, but you cannot count on that really ever again, honestly. You hope that you can, but I don't think you possibly can, which is why you've got to seriously consider making the tough decision and maybe get rid of somebody, not to get rid of them, but to try to bring somebody else in here to change things up.
Yeah, 888-957-9570 on last night's signature win and how it affects the way you view the currency of Golden State Warrior basketball. One more from Bob Myers with Steiny and Goo earlier today on the process of trying to make a trade.
It's not perfect. I mean, you just do the best you can. You try to placate all the powers in your organization. Clearly for me, you'd loop in staff, you'd loop in the key stakeholders, and then you do what you do. And sometimes it's nothing. But when I remember we were doing a Iguodala's deal, and that was a free agent deal. It wasn't a trade deal. And I remember going through it and thinking to myself, this isn't going to happen. We're not going to get him, and no one cares. So to come on the radio the next day, for me to see you guys at the bar, you might, I know you guys, I might say, guys, we had a lot of stuff going, and at the very end, I mean, couldn't get there. You might have some empathy, but the general public doesn't care.
Right.
They just say you didn't get a deal done, so you suck, and why didn't you do it? So there's part of it, but, you know, you get paid a lot of money, and that's part of the deal. That's part of the job.
I love that answer. I love that answer. I would never ask a fan to keep all of that or take all of that into account. But it does register in my head, like, and it happens every year, especially in baseball, for example.
No doubt. Yeah.
Every year you'll hear this. Wow, how idiotic is it that the Giants didn't trade Blake Snell at the trade deadline? Well, how do you know that they weren't an inch away? How do you know that they didn't try five different ways? How do you know that it just didn't come together at the end, with, and especially in the NBA, where salaries need to match and this and that and agents and years left and all of these things.
You got me in the NBA. I'm not giving the Farhan era Giants any.
No, forget that. But I'm talking about every time, like whether it's Madison Bumgarner, Blake Snell, or anything. Like, I don't think you ever go into any trade deadline, any sport, and think to yourselves, we must deal this person, no matter what. Unless you got a Jimmy Butler situation. And even then, I'd be open to, look, if literally all someone wants to throw us is shoelaces, then we're not doing it. We'll just kick the can down the road and we'll keep playing hardball. But I don't think it's a good position to go in and say, must trade this person no matter what we're getting offered.
You don't want to go into a trade situation from a position of desperation, because then you're bound to get beat in whatever the deal is.
No doubt.
But there's also a difference in saying, well, you know, we were open to trading this guy. Maybe we were fielding calls, but we weren't like actively trying to make something happen. Like, you can still actively try to make something happen, even if you feel like there might not be something real out there. You still got to go and put in the work and make sure you've covered all your bases. You don't just say, well, no one called us about Andrew Wiggins, so I guess we're not trading Andrew Wiggins.
For sure. Always due diligence. But I just, it feels almost like a lot of the people in the Warrior organization all year long have been trying to sell the idea trades are hard. And I mean, we've got that clip from Joe Lacob that gets played all day long here on 95.7. Oh, trades are hard. And okay, I'll believe you. And, you know, I've heard Bonte share the story from Grant Lifman, who told him, once he now joined, used to be in the NBC Sports Bay Area, now he's with the Atlanta Hawks in the front office, and he told him it was like, he's the number one eye-opener is how unbelievable it is to make a trade, like how long the process is, how arduous it is. And so it feels like the NBA is selling us that, and especially in Warrior Land, because everyone's been sitting here thinking for so long, this big game hunting, nothing happens. And doesn't mean they're not like literally on the doorstep of doing something.
Most of us only ever see the finished product.
The final thing. Totally.
We don't see any of the work that went into that one trade, which, by the way, let's say the Warriors make a trade before the Thursday deadline, whether it is Zach LaVine or Nikola Vucevic or Jimmy Butler or Cam Johnson or something even smaller that we're not really thinking of. Just that trade, I'm sure, took like 25 phone calls with the opposing general manager,
easy,
at least, over the course of like the last month and a half.
Bob Myers just called it exhausting. That was his word.
And it's
exhausting.
And that's for one potential deal.
Yep.
And they have their hands in so many different things. If they're not, they're not doing their due diligence, right. And that's what Bob Myers said. That's, you know, you get paid a good amount of money to do it, and it's part of the job. It's why you do it. But we only ever see the finished product, and we have no clue how much effort goes into it. I'm sure Mike Dunleavy hasn't gotten 8 hours of sleep in a very long time.
Amen.
Long time.
Yeah,
because it's been pretty clear for a while this team is not as good as they need to be. And yes, they're trying. Even if they made a trade for Schroeder. Exactly. Clearly, they tried already.
Yeah, literally the second that they could do it, they did it. Let's go to the phones. 888-957-9570. Austin in San Jose. Hi, Austin. Thanks for calling.
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you, Willard, and always, Randy. Listen, last night was great, man. I think I'm with Randy. It doesn't change my opinion about the fact that we should be moving forward with some additions and making the team better. I think the body of work over the we got 45 games or more in. I think that's a better statement about what the team is. I don't know, guys. I kind of feel like I was watching the body language. I don't know if you guys, other than a few dunks and, you know, there being some times when the team seemed together, I noticed there seemed to be a lot of guys that were working as individuals to me. You know, some of the shots that were taken seemed to be shots guys were getting for themselves. I get the sense the guys were almost auditioning. Guys were displaying their talent. I think the team guys know who might be on the move. I don't think these teams, to your point, they don't come to these decisions all in one day. I think they've already – I would go so far as to say I think they've already probably got some decisions made already, guys. I don't know what you think, but I think there's something going on. I think the fans will be much disappointed if nothing happens. That's my take. I don't think the Warrior fans in general – are going to be pleased if nothing happens at trade deadline. Guys.
Austin, thanks very much. And hi to your dog. I in total agreement that if the answer is nothing, that most Warrior fans will feel disappointed.
I'll feel disappointed.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with that. I don't think that I agree with the idea that I saw some sort of like shot hunting or me mentality in that basketball game last night. Guys were looking to audition. I don't think the players on the Warriors want to go. I don't think they want to go anywhere, number one. And number two, I thought that that last night was just a beautiful second half of basketball. Like, literally beautiful, beautiful team basketball. It was just – that's the other thing, buddy. It wasn't even just – it wasn't a game. It was a half. Like, they got beat by double digits in the first half.
Yeah.
Like, it was one half of beautiful basketball, but that's what it was.
Honestly,
it was one half.
Being down 10 at half felt like a minor miracle.
Totally.
Like, it felt like they should have been down by 25.
They were on blowout alert.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Can I read you a quote from Kevon Looney last night?
Fire away.
This is in the Marcus Thompson piece on The Athletic. Great piece. You already referenced it. Here is Looney asked about the approaching trade deadline. Quote, "Yeah, I want to stay. I know what the game is. I've been here long enough. My locker mates changed a lot of times. It might be my time. Who knows? That's the NBA. I definitely will not be sleeping that night whenever that time is for the trade deadline. I'm going to be up."
Oof.
Sounds like somebody who wants to stay a Golden State Warrior.
Yes. And sounds
and is
like
not auditioning for anybody else.
No, but he also sounds like somebody who knows that his name might get called.
There's a possibility.
Look, yes. I think in the NBA, if you're not a star and you're in the final year of your contract, this is February. That's February. So that's Schroeder, that's Looney, that's GP2. Final year of their contract. Your expiring deal and you are not a star. Like, that's the deal. So they totally know what's potentially coming here a week from today.
One more really quick. Andrew Wiggins, quote from the same story, Marcus Thompson on The Athletic. It's Wiggins, so it's a little less than Kevon Looney, naturally. Wiggins says, again, asked about the same thing, the trade deadline, quote, "Being in the league long enough, you know in the back of your head, nothing is promised."
Fair enough. That sounds very Andrew.
It does.
Yeah. A little less warm and fuzzy.
Yes.
Although, you know, Andrew has put on different jerseys. Kevon never has. So that's different as well. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We'll keep going with your phone calls. Nate, you'll be first up. 888-957-9570. We're going to keep it Warriors, and we're heading real quick toward the knockout tournament keyword. But also coming up next, and we will spend less than 5 minutes on it, but I want to get it out there. This Niner rumor is fresh.
Did I miss something?
And it is juicy.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
What did I got to go on Twitter. What's going on?
This is coming up next on Willard and Dibs.